Welcome to the Short Commute Podcast. Pastor Drew and Zach here in my office. Hey, I think a lot of you listen on the website, and that's a perfectly fine way to listen to us at www.firstcrcoosburg.org. A better way, might I suggest, though, is to download a podcast app, something like Himalaya or Podcast Attic or Podcast Go. If you have an Apple device, Apple Podcast comes preloaded. That way you can subscribe and turn on notifications. So every time we post a new podcast, you'll get a little pop-up on your phone or tablet, and you can listen to us on the go. But you're listening to us now as you are, and we've got another CRC position statement. This one's Common Grace.
Common Grace.
Different because we've got bullet points as opposed to two paragraphs.
Should be easy to discuss.
So very short, but should we just read the whole thing or do we want to take like a bullet point at a time?
Oh, let's just read the whole thing. It's short.
Okay. The CRC's position statement on common grace. In 1924, the CRC articulated its position regarding God's general favor to all creatures. The common favor is referred to as common grace, to distinguish it from God's special saving grace. The essence of the position is contained in the following points. Then there's three bullet points. One, in addition to the saving grace of God, shown only to those who are elected to eternal life, there is also a certain favor or grace of God shown to his creatures in general. Since the fall, human life in society remains possible because God, through his Spirit, restrains the power of sin. And finally, God, without renewing the heart, so influences human beings that, though incapable of doing any saving good, they are able to do civil good. Thoughts?
Me first?
Yep.
Well, do you know why this kind of came to bear in 1924? Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with our CRC history at all?
I am not familiar with why this came to be in 1924.
Well, you know, there were some theologians in the Netherlands that were kind of toying with this idea as they looked at the world around them that, you know, whether you're redeemed or not, whether you're part of the church or not, whether you're a believer or not, there are certain blessings that all of us enjoy. And so they came up with this concept of common grace. And that's God's kind of just generally favorable disposition toward the creation he made. I mean, whether you're redeemed or unredeemed.
He's a good God.
Yeah, he's a good God. Whether you're redeemed or unredeemed, we're all human beings are made in God's image, and that's a wonderful blessing, right? We have creative capacities. We have the ability to step back and think about our thoughts, which no other created being has, mm-hmm. right? And in 1924, that idea was, you know, crossing the Atlantic Ocean, and theologians in the Christian Reformed Church started talking about it here as well and kind of wrestling with, okay, is this a real thing or is this, you know, something else and, you know, we're not thinking about it right. And he was actually a very brilliant theologian in the Christian Reformed Church. His last name was Hoeksema, just rejected this idea of common grace, just rejected this idea of common grace and actually split off and created his own denomination from the CRC.
What's it called?
The Protestant Reformed Church. Okay.
Oh yeah, PR.
So that's where Protestant Reform came from, and it stemmed from this issue. So now I'd throw it back to you. What are your thoughts about common grace?
Hoeksema, I think, is trying to be a good reformer. Because our Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 8, says that we are totally corrupt and unable to do any good and inclined toward all evil. So I think that comes from this totally depraved emphasis in the Christian Reformed Church and say, hey, our good works are dirty rags apart from the regeneration of the Holy Spirit.
Fair enough.
So my assumption is his argument would be, you know, someone would say, hey, look around. There's people doing civil good that are fighting for equality, that are fighting for social justice, fighting for good things that the Bible affirms,
right,
who aren't Christians. Well, what do you make of that? His argument would probably be, well, it's for selfish gain. It's a pursuit of joy in his own work or his own gifts. not a pursuit of joy in God, and so it's really not good at all.
Actually, if I'm remembering right, and maybe I should look this up for the podcast, but actually what Hoeksema argued is that far from being an act of God's grace, it actually caused the unredeemed to be doubly condemned.
What do you mean?
And so, in essence, he's not arguing with the fact that the righteous and the unrighteous alike experience God's blessings. It's calling it grace that he had a problem with.
I see.
You know what I mean? So someone who does not acknowledge God is doubly condemned because this person is living life without reference to God and yet happily enjoying all these blessings.
But to not call it grace is a little bit deist, isn't it? I mean that in the sense that to not say that a good thing has to necessarily be a specific gift from God is to say, well, they're just getting good things because God set up this world to work this way, and that's just the way the world works.
That sometimes, I see what you're saying.
Sometimes, yeah. People get rain on their crops. That's just the way that God set up the world.
Right.
As opposed to looking at it and saying, no, God's intimately involved. He gave you that rain, whether you're a believer or not, and your crops are going to grow whether you're a believer or not.
Right. It's a personal thing.
As a gift of God.
Yeah, it's a personal gift. It's not just a detached gift.
Hmm. Yeah. I've been thumbing through my J.I. Packer Concise Theology because I thought there was something on common grace in here, but I can't see anything.
No, that's all right. So common grace, well, you mentioned total depravity, and we should flesh that out a little bit. Total depravity, yeah, there's a depth aspect to it. Like, you know, nothing we do, no matter how good, is good enough to earn salvation. Very, very true.
Yep.
But, you know, the other idea about total depravity is that, you know, we can do small g good things. It's just that, you know, in anything that we do, in any endeavor that human beings are involved in, there is sin woven into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just a good distinction to make. You know, the beauty of the gospel is that I can live a life that is morally inferior to an unbeliever, and yet, you know, God's elect saving grace still saves me.
Yeah, well.
Not that I want to be morally inferior to anyone, but the fact that an unbeliever, an unregenerate person, can actually live a more morally sound life than a believer is, I think, a testament to common grace.
Yeah. I think we have to. I like this position statement because I think you have to acknowledge that common grace is a thing, because there are good things do happen to non-believers.
Yeah.
And we have to acknowledge that all good things come from God.
Right. Yeah. I agree.
And so you're right there. I mean, that's as much as you need to know.
Right. And you have to call it something.
Yep.
Yep. Right.
And so I like that they make the distinction. Yes, they're receiving, non-believers can receive graces from God, but it's not the saving grace.
Sure.
Right. So that it's two different things. But you have to, we do believe in Scripture when it says that all good things come from God. There it is, right?
Okay.
So if a good thing happens to somebody, that's a grace, that's a gift from God.
So you would fully endorse this position statement?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, reading it 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
But I've understood the doctrine of common grace before this, and I
sure.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
You know, the beautiful thing about common grace is that we can, as Christians, we can affirm truth and goodness wherever we find it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a, it serves evangelistically as another bridge toward unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, we can affirm the good behavior, the redeemed thoughts, I guess you would say, of a society that pursues justice, that pursues kindness, that pursues love, and that creates opportunities to say, hey, this is where that comes from. Anything good, and this is good, comes from God. So we're able to point to that.
Yeah. And I think you have examples in Scripture. Cyrus, God moved Cyrus's heart in Ezra 1:1 that he decreed that the Israelite people should go back to Israel and start worshiping their God.
Mm-hmm.
Cyrus is not a Christian person. He's a polytheist. But God moved his heart. That's what Ezra 1 says. And we have other examples. Nebuchadnezzar declared that everybody in his kingdom should worship God because he was so moved by the things he was seeing the Israelites do. And there's maybe a little stronger evidence that Nebuchadnezzar might have got saved after his animal likeness. He had a pretty close encounter with God, but there's also evidence that says, man, he was probably a polytheist for all of his life, right? So there are examples of God moving people's heart to accomplish his will, and that has to be grace.
Well, just by the very fact that societies don't just, you know, completely self-destruct and kill each other, mm-hmm. shows that God is
in
restraining
him, all things
right?
hold together, yeah.
So, thinking of the Roman Empire,
yeah.
The Roman Empire, before it became a Christian empire, accomplished a lot of great things, mm-hmm. wonderful strides in civilization that allowed for the gospel to go out to the nations. And, you know, that I would argue that that's a gift of common grace.
Yeah,
viaducts and roads, yeah, yeah. and, you know, governance structure.
Technological advancement, yeah.
Right?
Is it 1 Corinthians that says, in him all things hold together? Or is that part of John 1?
I don't remember the reference.
They might both say it.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah,
but it's there.
Without God, we fall apart. I mean,
right.
Without God, that's hell.
Sure.
Right? And so this isn't hell. We're not in hell. So we have God, and everyone mm-hmm. on earth has God, relies on God to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
Consider the birds, consider the lilies.
Sure.
And I'm thankful for common grace.
I am thankful for common grace as well.
We'll be back next week with something else.
Thank you.